Well, today I have with me one of the great pianists, one of the great pianists of all times, Mr. Hank Jones. Hey, Hank, how you doing?
I'm fine, Leroy, and you?
I'm doing very well. I'm so glad that we were able to really make this work. It seems like we had a phone disintegration problem last time.
We had almost a full disintegration at this end. A lot of problems, but I hope that finally the problems have been hopefully resolved, let's say.
Problem solved. Well, you know, Hank, jazz music has gone through so many phases throughout its existence. I mean, there's been big band, swing, bop, hard bop, straight ahead, avant-garde, and I can probably keep going for another 30 minutes. But in all of these years and through all of these styles, what has been the most pleasing common denominator in the music for you?
Well, I think I'd have to say the style of Art Tatum, the great genius Art Tatum, and his style transcends all other styles. Because, and as a matter of fact, a lot of the styles that guys were playing, so the bebop and so forth, Art Tatum was playing those harmonic ideas 30 years before that. So it begs the question, where did bebop, or if you pardon the expression, really come from? Because Art Tatum was playing harmonic progressions like that years and years before bop became prevalent.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Art Tatum style is my style of preference.
The Art Tatum School of Music.
Exactly.
Well, you know, jazz popularity has increased and decreased in large pendulum swings over the year. And if you've been there on stage watching the audiences as they've been there listening to you playing, I mean, I know that the music continues to change and grow and get better and better. What are some of the dynamics that you've witnessed at home, here, and abroad in terms of the audience and their relationship with jazz music?
I've noticed, a new interest in jazz. I've noticed it not only in this country, but in other countries as well. Japan, which it seems to be growing, and also in Canada, I think in Europe. So I think this sort of rebirth of jazz, not that it ever died really, but I mean, so that's a new recognition of jazz as an art form, which it is, and I think it's pretty general all over the world. Right? That's a good, very good sign.
You're listening to the great Hank Jones right here on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. The show's called Live with the Jazz Cat. I'm Leroy Downs, your host, and it's on the For Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Now, Hank, I don't know what your childhood was like, but, you know, I always think about, you know, your parents and how they were so instrumental in providing the world with solid music from every member of the Jones family, which includes, of course, Thad, your brother Elvin, and your sister as well.
That's what I had. Two sisters, both of whom played piano before I studied the instrument, and another brother named Paul, who played very nice piano, but decided not to follow music as a career. Could have been a fine pianist, but he just decided otherwise. And another brother, Tom, who was interested in the bass, but his interests didn't last very long. So then there was, of course, Elvin. I'm sure you know Elvin and Thad. But that was
absolutely
it. I had an older sister named Olive, who would have been a fine pianist had she lived. She was killed in a rare, bizarre accident, ice skating on a lake about, five blocks from where we lived in Pontiac. And my mother never got over this. It was a traumatic event for her.
Yeah, it's always terrible to lose a sibling or a child.
It certainly is. And my father and mother, you know, were both musical. My father played guitar a little bit, and my mother played piano. And not professionally, neither one of them professionally, but I think they inspired the rest of us. I know they inspired me to do things, to become something, you know, on the piano or something in music in some category. So they were definitely an influence.
Absolutely. Well, they did a fine job with the Jones family, because you and your brothers and sisters have put so much music on this earth. I mean, it's historical. It'll always be here for all of us to enjoy, all of us to learn from. I mean, it's an American standard.
Well, you know, I hope that's true, and I'm grateful that that's happening. But what I'd like to do is to continue doing what I'm doing for as far into the future as you want to look. I'm figuring on maybe at least 200 years.
Well, we want that.
For starters, I mean.
Yeah, yeah, of course, man. 20 decades of Hank Jones. We love that, man.
By then, I'll be able to play a little better.
No. You're on it as well. You know, you carry the torch as a proud standard bearer. I mean, how do you continue to caress, arrange, and create different approaches to the same tunes, giving them opportunities to dance and shine in a whole new light each time you play them?
I suppose one way, if that all that is happening, certainly it's a result of practice, paying attention to what's going on. I'm always, practice. If I can't practice at least 2 hours a day, I don't feel right. So I think this has a big influence on whatever I do. And I think it helps you creatively. It certainly helps you perform better. And if your fingers are moving correctly, you can certainly play better. And also, I think you can get ideas. I think it stimulates the creativity. There's some connection there between the fingers, the brain, and the physical thing. The thing is, it stimulates the creativity, and you find that you can think better if you can move better without too much effort. That is, when I say move, play the piano better. So
right.
I think that all those things. Plus, you're always listening. You're always listening. Your ears are always wide open for new ideas. You're always trying to advance the culture. And do whatever you can do, just do it better, and perhaps do some creating art as well. So it all comes together.
Yeah. Well, I know the sounds of, yesteryear are different than the sounds of today. So is there anything that you're hearing in today's world that's a little different, that inspires you to do things a little differently than maybe, you say, 30, 40, 50 years ago?
Well, there are always new things that are happening. I tend to believe that, I think in the traditional style, I go back to the Art Tatum. Art Tatum's music will live for the next 1,000 or so years because he played a style that's going to be, it's universal. It represents everything good about playing the piano. Everything, he embodies everything that's good and lasting. So I think that style should progress. I don't know how it could get much better, but, we know that things do change. There will probably be changes, some imperceptibly, but things change over time. That's the nature of things. And I don't look for any great changes, but I'm sure there will be minor changes. I cannot identify them because that's in the future,
Minor moves.
I don't have my crystal ball. I left that at home in my other pants,
You're listening to the great Hank Jones right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the For Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Well, these days, water is a popular commodity. I mean, there are so many versions of bottled water in the store that sometimes it's hard to make a decision. I mean, but the one place that they really should have bottled the water was in Detroit, because if they knew what would have happened with the world if everyone drank their water and they made so many great musicians. I mean, people like yourself and the other Jones boys, Kenny Burrell, Tommy Flanagan, Barry Harris, Curtis Fuller, Paul Chambers, all you guys drinking the water from the same place.
Ron Carter.
Ron Carter, absolutely.
Right. Because Paul Chambers is sort of a transplant. He was, Paul was born in Pittsburgh. He moved to Detroit, but that's good.
Yeah, I know he moved there and hung out with you guys.
You mentioned Doug Watkins.
Doug Watkins,
Doug Watkins, another great player.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not sure the water had anything to do with it. Perhaps sometimes what the water was mixed with by the various musicians might have had some influence. I don't know. But everybody says that. I think it's almost, it's like, it's a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing. You know, nobody really believes that. But I'll say one thing. The water in that area was delicious. It was pure. It was always nice and cold and fresh. You could appreciate it during the hot weather. It was always good, good water. So maybe there was something in that, but not to the extent that people believe.
Well, you know, I remember, I don't remember because I was never there in Detroit, but I always think of this tune that Tommy Flanagan wrote, Beyond the Bluebird. Was that a very popular place back there in Detroit that you all played?
Well, I never played at the Bluebird. Not Thad, Elvin, and Billy Mitchell, and Tommy Flanagan, and Barry Harris, all those guys played there. I never played there. I knew about the Bluebird. You see, I'd left the area and had come to New York prior to that time. Elvin and those guys used to be sort of like the house band. They would accompany Charlie Parker and J.J. Johnson, people like that who came through. So Detroit was really sort of a meeting place, really. And guys used to come there and hang out. A lot of ideas, musical ideas, were exchanged there. That was a great place.
Wonderful.
I wish I'd been there.
Yeah, well, you did your part. You did your part first, and then you descended upon New York City, and you gave them a little taste of what they needed there, I'm sure.
Well, you know, I did my best when I came to New York City. There was so great, there was so much great music around in New York City. I absorbed a lot of things in New York City. I think the so-called quote-unquote bebop style it became not a thing that I strive for, but I think it had influenced my playing to a certain extent. Not to offset my preference for music or Tatum and people like Teddy Wilson, like that, but it did have some influence. And this probably will continue. Things like that will continue to happen to music. Music will always improve. The quality of music will improve, the presentation, and hopefully the appreciation of jazz will improve.
Absolutely. Well, it has to.
Yes.
Well, with you, whether you're playing a solo, accompanying a singer, or leading a group of fine musicians, you always have a way of playing that makes people stop, listen, and smile as they enjoy it. What type of magic exists in the melodies of the stories that you play in the music?
You know, one thing I'm very conscious of and very aware of and what I strive for is to always establish the melody first in whatever tune I'm playing. And whatever I do after that, the improvisations, the renovations, the transpositions, whatever follows that is based on the melody of the tune, sometimes on the harmony, the written harmony. And sometimes when you improvise, you change the harmony. You try not to really change the melody very much. If you do so, you do so in a way that complements the melody. But you always, then when I end the tune, I always manage to get back to the melody, to reestablish the melody, just to make sure that if somebody wasn't paying attention the first time, they could hear it the last time. But I mean, it's always wise. I think a lot of people forget about that. You have to first establish the melody, and then you go from there to the improvisations. So that, I think that plays a big part in presentation. It should play a big part. It doesn't always, but I've heard some players who start out improvising and the audience sometimes wonders what they're playing because they haven't established the melody. So there's no point of reference there, you see.
Yeah. You're listening to it from the master, the great Hank Jones, right here on the show live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio, on the For Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Well, Hank, I mean, what a blessing to have made a life out of this fine music. I mean, the cycle of giving or sharing the music and receiving the love and appreciation and, of course, the bread that you get from playing is... it's like 360 degrees revolutions of the earth. I mean, your life always seems to be in perfect sync with the universe with this music.
Well, I guess that's probably true, although sometimes we're not aware of it. I think we're affected by we're always affected by our surroundings. So if let's say if the political scene is upset or in flux, I think the music of that period sort of reflects that. If you're in a peaceful period where there are no wars and no rumors of wars and so forth, the music of that period probably reflects that, and sort of an unconscious thing because you react to your surroundings. And I think that's a natural thing that happens even whether you realize it or not.
I totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. And even though there's always a search for peace, it always seems like there's some turmoil to stir up the world and stir up the music too.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, you have a special concert coming up this coming week, and it's at the Hollywood Bowl on July the 30th. It's billed as 90 plus 90, where you'll be with Gerald Wilson, both of you celebrating your 90th birthdays and decades of service to jazz music.
Well, you know, Gerald has contributed a vast, vast amount of music to the jazz culture. And, you know, I've tried to do my bit, and the longer I live, the more I hope to be able to contribute. But, you know, as far as turning 90 on July 31st, you must know that I really don't feel a day over 89.
Man, you're sharp as a tack, man. I wouldn't even put the label of 90 on you. Those are numbers for the rest of the world in terms of your spirit.
Yeah.
And the music, you're a baby boy.
Well, those numbers are good for starters. But as I indicated before, I want to be around at least 200 years from now.
You know, we expect that. So I hope I'm here to hear the music too, man.
I certainly hope you are. I'll see you in the audience.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there every time, man, every time. You know, you've recorded so many albums, you know, played with so many wonderful musicians and performed probably in every corner of the earth. I mean, your journey and legacy has been a solid staple, as I mentioned, in the existence of American music. Are there any musically, are there any wishes or aspirations that you have yet to fulfill?
Well, you know, what I hope to do, really, is to improve on what I'm doing. I hope to do what I'm doing better, and that's what I constantly strive for. You know, that you could say is my objective, one of my aspirations. This is what I hope to do, and this is what I do it consciously because I'm always looking for new ways to do things, you know, to improve what I'm doing. Because I think without improvement, you have stasis, and when you're standing still, you don't stand still, you go backwards, actually. So that's one reason I always try to do something creatively different. I try to write tunes and so forth. And, you know, keep active, keep your mind active. And as long as you can think music and as long as your fingers move, then you can be creative. You can contribute something to the jazz culture and to further your own abilities and hopefully to create some music that someone else will enjoy, hopefully.
A student of the music for life.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, you know, you've contributed to keeping the integrity in the music by your style, your poise, your demeanor, your relationship with the music and the audience through humor and perfection, man. You're truly the crown ambassador of this music, and we love you.
Well, I thank you. Thank you very much for your airline. You know, my best regards and my thanks to all the fans out there who have been listening, and hopefully you're listening to my efforts. I really appreciate the support, and I thank each and every one of my wonderful fans, and you as well, Leroy, you included. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Hank. You've been listening to the great Mr. Hank Jones right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM, KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio on the Four Locals Only Show. Thanks so much, Hank.
Thank you, Roy.
Hey, man, and I'll look forward to seeing you there at the Hollywood Bowl this coming Wednesday.
Oh, fine. I look forward to seeing you as well.
Beautiful.
All right.